We'd like to welcome you to the virtual kitchen table. We are Haley from Taking a Kinder Path, Ashley from Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves, and myself, Erin, from Everlearning. We're gathering to have conversations about family life and home education, most specifically unschooling, which is sometimes known as self-directed education, or as I often refer to it, whole life learning. We'll be sharing experiences and ideas, learning as we go. We hope you'll pull a chair up to the table and join us. Welcome back to the virtual kitchen table. It is Erin, and I'm here with Ashley. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
And we have Anne back from, oh gosh, Anne, oh, by the by, right? Is your, I know you have two or three different handles and websites, but oh, by the by, and also your website, Eclectic Kids, which we will link at the end, and Kendall from Spark to Flame Home Learning. So hi, Anne. Hi, Kendall.
Hello.
Hi.
So we've had, well, Kendall, we've talked with you a few times, a couple times about in-person community, and I think we also have a streaming episode with you. And then Anne, I think we've talked to you about science, right? Is that the only time I'm going to say so far?
Yes, conversation about science.
Yes, in case you're willing to keep coming back, I'm going to say so far. So we are talking about community again today, but this time we're talking about the value of online community, and this is actually sort of a continuation of an episode that Ashley and I recorded very recently. So this is kind of like a part two. Talking about the value of online community. And actually, when Kendall chatted with us the first couple of times, it was about in-person community. And I think initially, Ashley, Haley had had this thought about talking about community in general. And we thought, well, maybe, you know, we'll talk about in-person, we'll talk about online as well. And then there was so much to talk about as far as in-person that we didn't make it this far. So here we are. So in the first conversation that Ashley and I had, we talked about, we kind of shared the story about how Haley and I had all met online, and we met through another online connection. And then we also shared that we have a new community opening, which is by the same name. So Virtual Kitchen Table Community. So if you have a chance to listen to that episode, we talk, especially near the end of the episode, we talk quite a bit about what our thoughts are for that community and our hopes are, and just sort of how we're moving forward with that. And that may come up again today. So hopefully we'll share a bit more information probably near the end of the episode at the very least. So I guess before we start talking about this, I just wanted to say that once again, we are four people who have met online, and I feel like I know each of you really well now. So in just like in, you know, in individual ways, but so I already told the story, Ashley, about how we met in the first episode, so I won't get too much into that, but you know, it was through Instagram initially. Mm-hmm. and I believe it was Instagram initially as well, right? But I just started noticing the things you shared, noticing the ways that you interacted with people, and kind of felt like I was getting to know you a little bit. So that was cool. And then when you joined the private community, which was Unschooling Together, now evolving to Virtual Kitchen Table, I felt like I got to know you even more. So, or just differently maybe. And then Kendall, I think I did see you on Instagram, but I also got to know you in in a private online group. And so again, it's like you see people sharing in different ways and on a couple different platforms. And and then we got to meet in person. So that was super cool. We still have to figure out a way to do that, Anne, because met Ashley and Kendall, but yeah. So Yeah, so I just thought, you know what, here we are again, four people who feel like we probably know each other, share lots of different ideas, lots of different strategies and thoughts, but really, if it wasn't for the internet, would not have connected. So I just wanted to start off by saying that. And then we can kind of see where that this conversation takes us, but we talked about maybe starting with the idea of social media. So I can just share for myself, maybe a little bit repetitive to last time, but essentially I didn't do any kind of public social media until my kids were older. So I took a stab at like Facebook. When I say Facebook, I mean like just family and friends type Facebook, several times. I went on Facebook several times. It came off Facebook several times. And then I was like, no, this isn't something that I feel like doing. I'm not really interested in sharing a lot about what I'm doing with people that I'm going to be seeing anyway. It just didn't make that much sense to me. Although I do understand the role that it plays for a lot of people, but it just didn't feel like something that I was that comfortable doing. And I also just didn't have a lot of I just didn't feel I had a lot of time when my kids were young. So it didn't make sense to force myself to do something that I didn't really have time to do anyway. So for me, social media was just really a way to talk pretty specifically about like parenting and home education. I find myself talking a lot about birds and cats these days as well, but just connecting with people on more shared interests rather than necessarily the people that live close to me. So that's kind of how I approached social media. And then I'd heard a lot of, there's a lot of negativity around social media. And I just find that I can see how that can happen, but I just find if I'm really conscious and I make the connections that feel like a fit for me, I actually find it's been an extremely positive experience. So yeah, that's kind of in a nutshell, a little bit of my, I guess, intro into social media. I'd be interested to hear what that felt like for other people. Or I should also just say that when social media came on the scene, I was already into my 20s. So I think it's a little bit different. I had already kind of started my adult life without Facebook or whatever. So it wasn't kind of like a norm for me. It was something that I would have to adopt, so to speak, even though everybody else my own age was adopting it. I was kind of doing this opt out, and people were quite annoyed with me, actually. So I had a lot, if you were on Facebook, you would know this. I wouldn't have to tell you that. I got a lot of that. So.
I was actually very similar, I think, to you. In fact, my first smartphone was less than, 10 years ago. Like, I didn't even have a way to get online on a phone until, 7 or 8 years ago. So I was, it wasn't long before my son was born, wasn't when I first got on Facebook. So I was pushing 30, I think. And I also went on and off a couple times. And I felt the same way, where I was like, I almost felt like it was replacing interaction, because it was just the family and friends I knew. So everybody around here is like, well, then what are we going to talk about when we get together? Or do we now not have a reason to get together to see what each other's been doing? So I got to where I just wasn't interested. And then also my son hit the age where I felt like it wasn't up to me to be like, he wasn't just this little kid, where now he might actually care about what was out there about him. And I thought he was past the age where I should just share whatever with whoever. It wasn't a lot of people. I think I had maybe 100 people on my Facebook, but I just felt that he was past that point where he might appreciate me sharing goofy photos of him and our funny stories. So I just shut that one down and went instead toward, well, also with the Facebook groups, like I just found those a bit more negative. And even if I tried to go for just homeschool, a lot of them, of course, because this was also when I was joining these groups, this was 2020. So there was this huge influx of people to the homeschool community, forced into it, not necessarily even willingly, but even if they were, they were brand new and had no idea. And so most every group, one, it was a smushing together of people who just seemed to argue a lot. no matter what group it was. But secondly, it was so much more about the hows. How do I do this? What's the laws of this? How do I handle this? What's the curriculum? And coming at it with more of a frantic pace. And of course, for me, having been homeschooled as a child and now being, so much further into it, there wasn't really something there for me to connect with. Whereas when I switched over to Instagram finally and very reluctantly, because I just don't like to be on many platforms, I was like, I'm not going to try any others. I don't want to do any others. And then for some reason, I tried Instagram and I just resolved it was going to be homeschool only. There would be no family. There would be no friends. There's nothing local. I'm only going to look for homeschoolers because I don't want to just know the logistics. Like, I wasn't looking for curriculum suggestions and all that. What I wanted to do was, what did your day look like? Like, what are you guys doing? Inspire me. Let me see something cool you're doing, some cool thought you have, and I want to be inspired by it. And so that's what it's become on Instagram for me. And so it's like I treasured it. And I know, Erin, you were one of the first accounts, like I can remember the first two I ever paid attention to. And yours was one of them. And I think for me, it was because unlike so much of the other stuff that was online, because I had been homeschooled before, I always said, you have that one part. You were like the only account I knew that had that part I haven't done. I've been the homeschooled kid. I've been the homeschooled teenager. I've graduated from homeschool. I'm now homeschooling a kid, but I've not been the parent of the graduating homeschooler. And so I appreciated you had that one perspective I don't know. And yet it felt very familiar. There was something that really rang with my personal homeschool experience, probably because I had unschooling too, where it's like I felt that vibe. And it was funny when you talk about meeting online, because I know when I watched the interaction on your account between you and Ashley and you and Kendall, you know how it is when people know each other online? Well, like when it's somebody you know in person, you have, there'll be little things you say as if you've known each other forever. I thought you guys all knew each other in person. There was that level of connection where I thought all of you knew each other and lived very close together. So it's funny that y'all had gotten to know each other well enough at that point, which then I think it wasn't until the unschooling community where I really connected more with Kendall and with Ashley and got to know them a bit better. But yes, you all had that vibe of we know each other on some deeper level where I did think y'all were connected already.
That's such a cool observation. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I feel like, and it's funny that you say that because I do feel that sense of like, I don't know if you can all hear my cat desperately trying to get back into this room. I'm just going to leave this as part of the podcast, make it real.
Yeah,
and go on. Just to your point about feeling like, you know, maybe people actually know each other in real life, but because I think we do share, whether it's on Instagram or whatever platform, or whether it's in private community, I do find myself sometimes like wondering what other online people are up to for the weekend, or you know, like Kendall, you'll often post about your different various family adventures or seeing extended family, and I will sometimes I'll think, oh, I bet, you know, they're probably out on the lake today or whatever. Like I do have those thoughts come up. And this is maybe if we have time for this, we could, but I sometimes think like, how do we manage? Cause we have all the people in our everyday life. And then I feel like I have a lot of additional people in my mind these days from different parts of the world and different parts of the country. So it's like a whole additional layer of people, that you're wondering about or caring about, or, you know, I'll see something and I'll think, oh, I bet so-and-so would be interested in that or whatever. I've even done that with people that I don't know very well at all in social media, and I'll just see something and I'll send it to them and you feel a little bit weird, but they usually are pretty accepting of it because it means you're reading their content and what they're sharing, right? But anyway, thank you for sharing that, Anne. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you guys all touched on your initial interaction with Facebook, and I, in more recent years, well, seven or 8 years ago now, I used Facebook to create online community first that then could become in-person community. So there was nothing in my immediate county. And so I had homeschooled myself too, on and off throughout my childhood. And I knew that an integral part of what I wanted for my kids was to have a group of kids that we could get together with on a consistent basis, like a peer base for them. So I think my daughter was around three, and I was like 90% sure we wanted to home educate and I wanted to keep her home. But that missing piece was, is there going to be this group of people we can get together with? So I've really utilized Facebook over the years for things like that, like creating this community, this group, which at first was very small. It was a handful of the regular families, but then it has grown over the years. And so I found not necessarily, I see what you mean, Anne, about some of the groups being negative or very like that panic driven, or I need my questions answered right away. And I do feel like groups like that have an online, like groups where you're kind of really anonymous are a different, they have a different purpose, where you can just go in and be maybe more open and upfront very quickly, because you don't know these people and you haven't created a bond or a relationship. So those have their function as well. But what I was like looking for was kind of making something from scratch and just using Facebook as this platform to make that easy, to have this group of people that we now have connected with over the last 7 or 8 years. So yeah, but definitely I feel more comfortable, and like I've found really deeper, meaningful connections through Instagram, because I feel like you get that little glimpse into people's day-to-day, like you guys were mentioning. And often we share the highlights, which some people can maybe say, well, you're not really getting to know the person if you're seeing them at their best. But I feel like it's kind of the opposite, that encourages my mindset into be seeing the glimmers in my day-to-day and wanting to share those and wanting to celebrate with others who are sharing theirs. And then there's all these different pockets, right? Because then there's places like these online networks where you can get to know people more deeply and start to share some of the not highlight reel of your life. So I feel like Instagram is so inspirational and a happy place to be, and people are sharing their highlights, and you can really get a sense for connecting with families based on their, like, everyone has their own little flavor. And Anne, you were saying like what drew you into Erin's account. Definitely like all your nature photos, Erin, and that perspective of a parent of older kids. And anyway, like you really can get a feel for people and really you can be selective, like the quality over quantity, because they're showing a little glimpse, like, we like board games. Oh, we do too. We like nature. Oh, we do too. So you can really connect very specifically with people through Instagram and what they're sharing. So I see that as a positive and not a negative of just like, well, you don't know everything about them. It's not about that. It's about connecting over these positives in life and what we enjoy and celebrating that together. That's where I find Instagram feels like. That's the vibe of Instagram for me.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's also just plain one of the nice things about online is that it is easier to pick and choose, because we don't always agree with everybody on everything. And in person, sometimes it's harder to find that connection if there's a lot of stuff you don't agree on. But I do find it really easy there, where it's like that photo grabs you. It's like, that resonates with me, that little thing you're doing. I may not necessarily be following everything else you're doing, and I may not love that, but I can pick out this one moment and I can skip over the rest. So at least, you know, it's going to touch on a little bit of something for so many people. Like the other, where I was saying there's two accounts I remember from the beginning. The other one, she and I have always laughed that we have pretty much nothing in common, but she's my very first account I remember. I hold her very dear. We've messaged on the side during our hurricane. She was one where when we got reception back, her message was there going, are you okay? You know, so there's something to be said for being able to find those little moments without having to take the whole package that you kind of more have to in person or in some places, and being able to just be like, yeah, we connect here. Like, we can bridge this gap, even if there's lots of other things. Like, we can bridge this gap here in a way that maybe we couldn't have as well in other places.
Mm-hmm. So here's where I wish I had brought a pen in, like Ashley and Kendall, because like there's a few different things there, and I just want to try to keep track of them. So Kendall, I think the idea of seeing people's high points, and I think that has never bothered me in the way that I see it bother a lot of other people. It hasn't really bothered me either, because I actually find it inspiring. And I do wonder if it kind of elevates everybody's particularly when it's around our relationships with our kids or things we're getting curious about, does it kind of bring everybody up seeing what different people are doing? If we just have to keep firmly in mind that obviously all those people aren't doing the same thing at the same time. Like, I think it can get overwhelming if you're looking at all the different things people do. But if you just keep in mind that this is one person, then, well, like you said too, Anne, like you might resonate with something and it might draw you in. And it really, what it can be is like more of an idea or inspiration. But when I think about what a lot of our sort of, field of, I don't know what you would call the homeschool world or whatever, but it's a lot of it is around like respect and kindness for kids and family life and like understanding the learning process. So I feel like for me, usually if I go onto Instagram, I see so much content that is relevant to that, that it makes me more thoughtful. And it makes me want to put a better foot forward. Because you see, there's sort of this energy of people wanting to do that, wanting the best for kids, wanting to put time and energy and thought into family and community. And so it just, to me, it's just inspiring. And I just feel like there's this kind of like invisible accountability factor. Not that anybody else is looking in at how I'm behaving, but even when I'm interacting with my family, I just want to be better because I see other people wanting to do that as well. It was kind of convoluted, but that's how I feel about it anyway. But Kendall, I just wanted to say too, that's the other kind of cool thing about online. Like, we're talking about the four of us made purely online connections, but the online community can also be a foot into in-person community, which is what I think you were saying. Like, you used Facebook was a really good tool for building both your online life, but also your in-person life. And then your kids, like the connections your kids have made through Facebook, like not through Facebook themselves, but through you using Facebook as a tool.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly add that I was thinking a little bit, because I don't know that we really got into it much, Erin, the other day when we were discussing this, but that idea of combining like the in-person community and online. And I don't think I've even thought a lot about that, but I am noticing it more. And I'm sure it's, you know, that's just my experience. We've joined a new homeschool group. Like, our family has joined a new homeschool group. And we were very like welcomed in person first. And it was actually maybe even a month or so, like we had met in person quite a few times with them before I even found out that they also had their own little Facebook group. And I think they don't use it a lot. So it probably didn't even cross their minds, but eventually as new in-person people join their group, they're like, oh, add them to the Facebook group too. And they just share little things there as well. That group also has, I know a lot of the groups I'm in use the WhatsApp app to connect, but they also use, it's Facebook Messenger. They have a chat in there too. So it's interesting all the different ways you can connect with the same group of people in person and then online in different or on different platforms, I guess. But I do, like, as I was listening to you guys talk about, I was thinking about how, I was kind of seeing like online platforms as tools, and they serve, I guess, different purposes or meet different needs. And it seems like a thought I had was like, when we go into a social media platform, specifically a social media platform with a specific purpose in mind, it can be used as like a tool to meet a goal or a need. And that can be a very different experience than, you know, jumping on TikTok, for example, just to see what it's all about. Whereas if you were to go in and use it, I don't have TikTok was one of the things where I was like what you were saying, and I was like, no, I have Facebook, I have Instagram. And I was curious about TikTok, but I just was like, nope, that'll be more time online for me. And I don't want that right now. But TikTok's probably one of those ones that a lot of people, I'm assuming a lot of people get out of curiosity, and they were just, you know, I'm going to check this out, see what it's all about. Whereas I think maybe it's more common to go on and like use Facebook, especially nowadays, because they want to create a group and they want to just have a free platform or space where they can have that online group or build that community. But then that was just leading me to thinking how a private online community, I would say, is like often from my experience used as a tool. Like there is a specific purpose, and people, you know, join usually not because they're just, oh, what is Mighty Networks all about? But I'm getting on Mighty Networks because that's where this online community is that I think will meet some needs that I have. So those were just some thoughts I had while I was listening to you guys talk about it.
Yeah, and I guess that was the only one I hadn't really hit on, is like here locally, I've tried to use Facebook as a tool the way that Kendall says. Our local homeschool Facebook group is pretty much just, here's what's going on in the community. There's not really a personal connection there. I've tried to make private groups both locally when I was doing my reading club and trying to do them like more expansive. Neither one panned out very well. So yeah, the Facebook thing didn't work for me. And with all the groups I was in, I felt like that anonymous person. I was almost scared to post because there were so many people who would jump on a post for reasons where it would go sideways, you know? So when Erin invited me over to the Unschooling Together group, I was very hesitant. She knows. I was like, I don't know about all that. And yet it's been the only thing where it's been like a group. People are there to actually talk to each other and to connect in some sort of meaningful way. And it's never been negative. Plus then it's also been the only time where there's been these kind of ways, like where we've gotten together and chat, like the Zoom chats that we have there, you know, where I'm always one for a real conversation. I like talking face to face. It can be really great to be able to have the dialogue that goes on in the post where you have time to think about it. And you in the community, it's always very thoughtful. People take their time and anything that they add is always really well thought out and you can really connect with people there. But then it's so nice to have the opportunity to come on Zoom too. So it was the first time ever where I've had this sort of group experience was when I came over to y'all's groups. So it's been a very different experience and I've enjoyed being able to do that and see that, yes, this happens out here online in this way. Cause although I do enjoy Instagram, it only goes just so far. It is more of like the little snapshots. And so this has been nice to get to know some people in a deeper way and actually feel like you connect and do start to really know each other.
I appreciate that, Anne, and I feel very similarly toward you. It's been really good to just connect, and you're right, you just connect the dots a little bit more than what you would be able to put out onto the World Wide Web, right? Just, I just wanted to jump back too to something that Ashley said about, I think it was TikTok you were talking about, Ashley, and I know that feeling, and I had that feeling about threads, with threads on Instagram, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's one, right? Because it can just feel like an overload. And I think for me too, I am part of three online communities, like two are Mighty Networks. I can't remember what the other platform is, but three private networks where, you know, you would connect with people and post and try to keep up with what people are doing. So there's that. And then there's Instagram. And then like in my work, in life, I am on the computer quite a lot. Like even if I'm doing things in person, there's always some document that I have to switch. Like I just feel like I'm in front of a screen. Even when I'm in person, I'm having to check stuff on a screen. So, you know, I feel like we keep getting more and more things, right? And so of course, some will start to drop off a little bit. You already see that happening a little bit with things like Facebook. It's just being used in a different way. But with threads, I kind of avoided it for a little while. And then I did join. I mean, it's connected with Instagram anyway. but yeah, and I don't know how I feel about threads yet. I kept hearing people talk about how it was a really good point of connection that you could do. It seemed to me like longer form writing, or it just sounded like there was more space for that. haven't been terribly wooed by it yet, I have to say. But I'm not shutting the door. Like, I'm not shutting the door on it. I'm just kind of popping in every now and then. So there's that piece too, where I think we can just kind of like see over time how something works for us or not. Whereas I think with Facebook initially, I was a little bit more reactive to it, but I think I was reactive because I had so many. So part of it was friends. Part of it was like things my kids were part of, that you need to get Facebook or you won't know when the game is or whatever. And I was just feeling reactive to that. I think part of it was just that part of my personality that was like, I'm not going to do this because you're telling me I have to do it. So it was like,
that's valid.
Yeah. That was a piece of that for me for sure. But yeah, like, Anne, when you're talking about like opening something up, like your Instagram account, and just starting fresh with what you want it to be. It doesn't have to be about friends and family. For one thing, then you do have a clear vision about the type of thing that you're posting. But I think the other thing that happens that one of you alluded to, and actually we did talk about it in the first conversation as well, you're less accountable or connected to those people in a day-to-day way. So if you say something and one of your followers doesn't agree with you, well, whatever, they scroll to the next post. That gets much messier when your kids are on the same sports team or you're part of the same family or whatever, or it has the potential to get messier. So I think it's both a benefit and also a little bit of a, I don't know what drawback is the right word, but we can also get let off pretty easy online because we only have to bring the parts of ourselves that, you know, we're not connected to anybody else who's connected to anybody else in real life. So there's less potential to have to be careful at times, I think. And that's where I wonder if some of the issues, again, I have been part of Facebook groups, but not for very long because I kept dipping back off. But I do hear so much about Facebook groups. And so I do think, like, are people just, it's a little bit less faceless. Well, it's Facebook, but you know what I mean? So they're just quick to say things that they wouldn't say to that same person in real life. So it's, I don't know. It's interesting. From that.
Yeah, there's definitely two sides to that, isn't there? But I think what I value about the online community, we've been alluding to it a little bit, you have that anonymity, but I haven't had a problem with that on Facebook because the whole point of the group we have is that we are going to see each other and we are going to bump into each other at the grocery store. So that helps with that. And then other places like I love what you said, you can scroll on by on Instagram. And then when people come to these private networks, they're coming and they've already found it. So like there's a little bit of discovery on Instagram, like, oh, I'm going to follow this person for a while, see if we do have the same kind of vibe or flavor of what we're attempting to create for our families. But then if you find a network, it's already like a good fit, because what I love is that there's this built-in understanding of kind of lifestyle. And like oftentimes you could be in conversation in your neighborhood or with extended family, and it's, you're the one doing the countercultural thing by home educating. And so you're always the odd man out. Whereas I love that you can dive deep into conversations about specific topics in some of these online communities, because it's like an agreement upon entering that here's what we're all about. We are. And then there's this, you can kind of avoid some of the small talk or the discovery, getting to know people more, because you have this wealth of connection and shared experience already that you're jumping off of. And not that we all do things the same by any means. And that's the beauty of learning from how we do things differently. But it kind of gets a lot of that stuff that's just like the discovery. When you meet someone new in real life, discovering. And then I think Anne kind of talked before about like the maybe like tiptoeing or being on eggshells where you know you differ. You didn't say that, Anne, but you said like it's nice to be able to connect in on those points of connection as opposed to realizing, oh, well, there's 10 things that are so different about us that maybe we won't be a good fit for each other. You can just focus in on the few areas of commonality. And then that allows you to dive deep into conversation with this like shared understanding and respect that you don't have to explain everything all the time. So it's nice to have online community when some conversations day to day can feel cumbersome, or you're constantly explaining yourself or answering the same questions to people, you can avoid all that and find this global network of people who you can skip all over all that. And it's just, it feels very supportive to meet with people who have that base understanding of your kind of experience and your whys and what you're up to day to day as well, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense. You really are, your entry point of communication is at a much deeper level, I think, because you've already, you've done a bit of maybe initial connecting, but because people are sharing some content about themselves, and just by virtue of the fact that even if somebody, I'm even thinking of, like, if somebody messaged you and said they'd like to know, you know, they're a homeschool family, they'd like to know this, that, and the next thing, you already have, like, from that one sentence, you have something in common right there. So the entry point is such a deeper level of communication. And what I find kind of funny about that, but in a good way, it's almost exciting to start to find out the small talk stuff about people, because, you know, you're coming together on this major lifestyle choice, and it's amazing, no matter where you are in the world, how much commonality there is around that. Like, the school system is relatively consistent no matter where you live. That's what I've really noticed from connecting with people all over the world. Their experiences are very similar, so they're choosing something different. And a lot of the questions that people might have are similar, and a lot of the, you know, some of the joys and challenges of building community, like in-person community, are often relatively similar, even though you're not in the same place. So you're connecting with all this common knowledge. And then once you connect at that deeper level, you maybe start to find out, like, what's the weather like where you live, or what kind of programs does your library offer? Or, you know, that's what I have found funny, is that over time you start to get these little pieces of what you might consider small talk about people. But because you've connected on that deeper level first, somehow that stuff is more interesting to me anyway. I don't know. Like, well, and in the community right now, like, you know, you've been talking a lot about board games, which is like a thing, but it's like, it's fun to find out the specifics of what people are like, just very specific things like that, after you've had that deeper connection. I mean, that can also be a route to deeper connection, because depending on what your family likes to do, you kind of can get talking about different things. But I don't know. It's like, you know, you and I have been on some Zoom meetings where we and other people have gotten into some really deep level conversation, but I enjoy it just as much to see, what games did you guys get at Christmas? And yeah, I don't know. It's just fun to kind of zoom back out again a little bit, maybe, is the way to put it.
As you're talking, it's making me feel like you kind of can rest into a level of trust, because I don't know, like, it is strange, because it's like, how do I feel this level of trust with these people I've never met in real life because of that shared experience? So you can dive deep, and then it's a reverse where you're like resting into, like, this person will get me, this person won't judge me. This person will share their experiences and be supportive. So the small talk or the day-to-day life stuff that follows is because you've already felt that internal sense of like connection, or like a trust in the community as having your back, because, like you said, there's so many shared common experiences that we've all been through. And it's just like that feeling of like a breath of like fresh air, like these people, like checking in a couple times a month on a Zoom call with people who you're not feeling like you're defending yourself to. So like that the enjoyment of those small talk or just getting to know each other more, even when it's not some big deep conversation, is just more relaxing because you're not feeling in defense mode or that you have to explain yourself, or just maybe even being like on guard, like when are the questions going to come that are questioning my lifestyle or my choices? Or because even though we all do have done and do things differently, I think I've found in that online community, a level of like respect and support, mm-hmm. no matter what's going on. So that's a key factor as well.
that is a super interesting way to think about that, because it's kind of like, I'm trying to think about like what our entry point is into in-person relationships. It's usually having something in common with the person. And that's true here too. We have the home education piece in common, but as you said, Kendall, there might be all kinds of other things that we don't. And so once you feel that, I think you said, I don't know if you said safety or trust, I can't remember what word you used, but, or kind of feeling held. So if you're feeling held in, these people have already accepted me, they already value me, we're already in relationship. You think about some of those other topics, everything from like, you know, how do different families spend their money? Like, how do they think about finances? How do they think about food and eating? How do they think about travel? Like all these different things. You're kind of already getting to know the core of the person. So you feel, and I think that's what you're saying, you feel accepted. So that then if you're sitting having a conversation about something where you differ with the person, or maybe you feel like that person's not, you know, maybe they're not going to quite understand, or you're not quite on the same page, that core of friendship is already there. Whereas I think in I'm going to say real life, I talked about this, Ashley, how I grappled with that word in like physical life.
In person.
That's what we decided on, right? In person.
Yeah, I think.
You're meeting based on all these common, you're not meeting at the core. You're finally getting to the core by kind of going through this process of elimination almost.
And I don't know if it's this way for you guys. I would say another way, in this way, almost works backward online from in-person life, is that, and Aaron, it may be less so for you with older kids now, the families I know, the people I know in real life, I really know because of having a kid. It's like you're there with your kids are doing something, and you start chit-chatting on the side or get to know each other there. And so this was really the first time within a homeschooling thing where I met on the adult level first, as opposed to going in and we're all just standing there watching our kids and we're waiting anyway. So we start chatting and you slowly get to know each other. You know, here it was more like I'm going in as the adult and we're having an adult meeting of the minds. And then it actually goes back the other way where, again, I don't know about the rest of y'all, I wind up sharing it with my son. But like I told you the other day, Aaron, there was something where he was like, you've got to tell Aaron about that, you know? And then like, we'll look at what Kendall's doing, where her son just reminds me of mine in a lot of ways. But then of course our kids also share the birding thing, you know? So we'll be like, oh, you've got to see this. Or when you and your daughter were doing the stuff with the plovers and you were sending us the information on that, we're like, it trickles back down the other way. So it comes in from the adult level and goes down to the kid, as opposed to so much for me in person starts at the kid and comes to the adult.
Really interesting. Yeah.
Well, and that, like, and when you say that, like, I'm thinking about the fact that that was definitely when my kids were like, quote, school age, right up until like even really right through their high, like quote, high school years. That was a huge bulk of my life. So it was parents of the kids that we were connecting with, who were often either homeschool community or like maybe my kids had met kids through other teams or things. And then again, I'm connected with their parents, but it was very like kid to adult. And then I maintained my own friendships. Like I had a few close friends that weren't necessarily because like I'd been friends with them first, but I really didn't make a lot of new friends. Now that you're saying that, like I had my original friends and I maintained those friendships, which I'm thankful for, and I'll get to in a minute. but really, then any new people I met over the course of like 20 years were connections through my kids or their activities. And so one of the reasons that I really appreciate the online community is that I think this is why I went online. As my kids got older and like quote aged out of homeschooling, most of the parents that I was connected with, and I made some very solid friendships with homeschool parents. So it's not that the friendships weren't authentic, but they have kind of done their thing and they weren't interested in continuing to talk about parenting and home education. It was like that was a stage of their life, and they look at it fondly and they'll reminisce about it. But there was nobody else that I knew in real life who had the same interest in, like, I was still like digging into research about reading and research about conscious parenting, and not just academic research, although that was part of it, but also get like seeing like what's the anecdotal experience that various people have. And the other people in my life, like, it had been a lot of years of raising kids and homeschooling, and they were, you know, moving on to other things. I think that's really one of the reasons that I started writing my blog and kind of connecting with people and reading a lot of other people's blogs and connecting with them as well. And maybe the segues into, I think we were maybe going to talk about like the larger unschool world of maybe not quite as direct contact, but like blogs and podcasts and how they can connect us to one another. But that for me was like an outlet. Like, I was like, oh, okay, I actually have this interest over and above my kids, which makes sense because before I had kids, I was working with kids. So it makes sense that I still had that interest. But yeah, it's just been such a good outlet. And then finding online that there are lots of people in my stage of life who feel similarly and have done the same thing. It's like, yeah, my kids are grown, or they're almost grown, you know, for some people, but they want to continue. Like, I think people assume it's like sharing your experience, but oh my gosh, I learn so, so much. Like, there's just, I learn at least as much as I would be able to share because there's new things happening all the time. So things like the screen time, the global screen time conversation is totally different than it was 10 years ago. So there's new thoughts and new, you know, for better or for worse, I don't know, but there's new things to think about with all this stuff. So it's definitely given me an outlet, not only to connect with people whose kids are younger than me, but also people whose kids are my age and even older, just with a shared passion, I guess, for talking about this stuff and helping in whatever way we can. Like, I don't know, but.
Sorry. I'm sure Ashley and Anne agree with me that I'm so grateful for your voice and others like you to have that reflective look on things and that feeling. Like, you mentioned podcasts, and there's a few that I can think of that had similar experiences as you, where their children were older, and so many people new to home educating just need that confidence boost of like, look, other people have done it. They're the pioneers. Or, and like you're saying, it's not that it's, I did it, I have all the answers. It's that they share experiences and they point out it wasn't perfect. I didn't really know what I was doing, and I'm continuing to learn, and I would maybe do this differently. Like, it's just such an important perspective that really helped me learn and grow over the first few years of starting things out with my kids, and your blog and others like you, and then certain podcasts. And I have like a whole list of blogs and podcasts that I have on hand that I share with people that I meet in real life who are new and have all those initial questions, because it's this wealth of information that diving into and immersing yourself into is so helpful. And so anyway, thank you. I'm so thankful for the people like you who didn't just think of it fondly and move on in life and really wanted to still stay and reflect on it and continue to learn and share it with others. That it's been really helpful.
Yeah, I think I can echo that. I was thinking the exact same thing, and how I definitely was looking for people who were in a similar stage of homeschooling as I was. Just because, yeah, you can talk about like if your kids are around the same ages and whatnot, like what they're getting up to with what's available now and stuff. And like those current struggles you might be going through and stuff. But I was definitely, I think it would be safe to say I've spent more time reading blogs, listening to podcasts of people who have kind of been there, done that, because of all the reasons you already said, Kendall. And then what I just have found like so cool is that we do often have the opportunity to connect with a lot of those people. So it can go further than just reading, not just, but like reading their blog posts. You can, and maybe it is just leaving a comment and then they reply, or even just reading the other comments other people have read after, you know, reading a certain blog post, or, you know, that you, and maybe I mentioned this in our last conversation, Aaron, I'm not sure, but like, I know podcasts were very accessible for me when we started and mine were younger. I could be doing stuff, listening to someone talk about homeschool stuff or unschool stuff through a podcast. And then I could go, like what I would often do is try to see like, oh, I wonder if they're on Instagram. And I would sometimes be that person who would slide into their DMs and send a message. And often, I mean, I don't know if there was ever a time where I didn't get a reply. So I just think that that's nice too, that we can, I've gained so much from other people sharing their experiences, and being able to then connect with them or be in community with them. Like, it's neat that there's those opportunities available to us these days.
Well, and it's, I can't think of the actual saying, but I've heard it said, you know, around homeschooling, and maybe the same thing could just be said for general parenting, that it's helpful to have somebody kind of who's been on the road ahead of you, someone who's parallel to you, right, to kind of go back and forth with, and then maybe somebody coming up behind you that you can share with. And I think that's incredibly true. And I would just also add to that, that like the people behind you, you're either learning reflectively. So I'm either seeing stuff that younger parents or younger kids are doing, and I'm thinking, oh man, I kind of miss, you know, I wish we had done more of that. And sometimes if it's a relational thing, like if it's like a philosophical thing, I've actually been able to just be a little bit more that way, even though my kids are older. Like, it's kind of like all is not lost, you know, because I didn't click into that earlier on. So sometimes it's reflective. And then sometimes it's just, you start thinking of things in a different way that you might be able to share with somebody else. So, you know, I love that saying or that metaphor, but I do think the piece that it leaves out is how much we are learning from the people, quote, behind us. Well, I mean, think about how much we learn from our kids. It's wild. Like, it's right. And that's all part of this, is that we're kind of, the way that we're going about this isn't, I have this experience, and so I will now pass this on to my children. Like, we're always, it's dynamic. So I think in the way that our relationship with our kids is dynamic, I think also this relationship with like various ages, various parts of the world, can also be really dynamic, which is just very, very cool. And I think, Ashley, the idea that you can either respond to somebody's blog directly, or you can go, you know, message them on a social media platform of some kind, it's just really made things so much more accessible. So you think about a period of time where it would be like someone would write a book on something and they were an author. And how would you really, I mean, I guess you could write them a letter, whatever, you could show up to an event. But the fact that we have the possibility of just connecting with people directly. Like, I've told Sue Elvis this, and I think we both kind of smiled about it, but as my kids got into the teen years, that's how I was introduced to Sue. It wasn't, you know, it was reading her. I think I Googled something about math and one of her posts came up, and then I just started reading a lot of her stuff. And so I remember the first time that I was on a Zoom meeting with her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to Sue Elvis. Yeah. It was just so funny. And I felt that way as well, like listening to Pam Larickia's podcast for so long, then getting to be, because I'm in, she and Anna Brown had started the Living Joyfully Network, and I'm part of that group. And so it's funny how those podcasts and blog posts can lead you to actual connection with people, in ways that I just don't think were possible before. So there's just, it all just feels like more real and more accessible somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned the Living Joyfully Network. One thing that I love about that network is even if I'm not part of the calls, the Zoom calls, I'll listen. They record them. And there's all of these, like you were touching on this a little bit before what you said, Erin, there's like these common threads in all human experiences. So even if the details of what the people on these groups are talking about are different than your specifics or your details, you can listen in and just feel so enriched and supported and have ideas for your own life, because it's not, the specifics aren't the same, but these common threads are so helpful in, even if you're just listening in and not being an active participant all the time in some of these networks. It's just such rich conversation and so many, and just the feeling of shared experiences or shared challenges and struggles is just, even if you're just listening in, is so encouraging. I think so the networks bring this more like human and the nitty gritty, I think, to the conversations, whereas we were talking about the inspiration that the highlights reel that is Instagram mm-hmm. helps us want to do better, think differently. The more nitty gritty, detail specific of getting in conversation in some of these networks with people, is so helpful, even if it's not exactly what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Very much agree about Living Joyfully Network, as you know, Kendall, and agree in general. And I think it just personalizes things to be able to, and I mean, many of these people have written books, like Pia Murky has written books and Sue Elvis has written books. And I think, my image as a child was that people that wrote books were almost on another, like they were a bit untouchable, right? And I think part of that is the whole publishing process of having to be editing and the publishing company and, you know, all that sort of thing. And so now you kind of have this marriage of the two worlds where you can read somebody's book, and then you can, a lot of people are also doing personal writing or podcasting. And yeah, it just feels so normalized. I'm trying to think, when I first started homeschooling, I do remember getting a couple of books out of the library. And I should say, there used to be something called Yahoo groups. It's no longer. So I shouldn't say I wasn't online with homeschooling, because I was part of Yahoo groups, but it was more for planning purposes than anything else. So as far as my actual like reading about stuff, it was often books or conversation with in-person people. But I remember reading the books and they were so good, but it did still feel pretty distant, because you know, to some degree, I mean, we talk about whether social media is realistic. I mean, are people's books, especially back then, all that realistic? People weren't self-publishing. They had to go through major editing, you know, processes, still do if you're doing traditional publishing. But yeah, there's something really different about seeing that same person who wrote a book in a private community, or listening to their podcast or reading their blog. So I think at the time I was reading books and it seemed like this thing that these very strange and amazing people were doing, even though I knew I wanted to homeschool from the time I heard, you know, from the time my oldest was a baby. But it still felt a bit distant. And so
There's the flip side of that too. It's like in this group is mom who just has questions about unschooling and doesn't feel like they even belong. Can I be here? And so it's this like pendulum or the dichotomy of these people who were like fanning over, I've listened to you and read your books. And then you're maybe somewhere in the middle, and then there's newcomers where you're learning just as much from their experiences though too. It's neat that we're all in, yeah, the community of people at all different stages and levels of, and that brings like comfort and support in like, oh, there's people just like me. Because a lot of times in the home educating world, people are like, are you qualified, what makes you feel qualified? And I know Ashley and I have touched on before too, a lot of people are like, oh well, you have a teaching background, so that's what makes you feel qualified. And you have to like say, no, that's, you know it's more of a conversation of I've had to unlearn a lot of things about, like, it's not really helping me with my children at home. But anyway, I love when you're just in this group with people of all backgrounds and stages and phases too, and you're learning from everybody. It's pretty cool that they're all in there together.
Well, and it's kind of like the proof is in the pudding, isn't it, Kendall? Because it's like when you really see people and you're sharing ideas together, whatever platform that's on, or, you know, private groups or whatever, it, you can tell somebody, like you can try to explain to your neighbor or your friends or your family that, you know, that you don't need to be a teacher to homeschool. Like you can try to say that, or you don't need to have particular qualifications, but it's hard for people to hear when they're not in the middle of it. And they're not kind of, they're just hearing it. They're taking your word for it. But I think in that moment where you are really seeing what families are doing and you're talking, it becomes extremely apparent that it really, you have people of all different backgrounds and ages and cultures and whatever. It, this is really not specific to people that have, you know, teaching certification or what have you. But it's, I think it's a little bit harder to even imagine that ourselves until we're in the midst of it. Maybe not quite as much like Kendall and Anne, you both had experience, homeschooling experience as kids. So it might not feel as, but I think for those of us that came into it without that childhood experience, I remember I would tell people things because I was hearing it. Like, you know, I would be like, no, no, apparently it's fine. The research says, or, you know, this study was done, or so-and-so told me. But to actually be having a conversation about in-depth things and seeing that, oh, okay, yeah, we're all different backgrounds and our kids are all having great lives, and it's good. It's all good.
I know I'm the outlier. I would say that, yes, I came in feeling certainly very comfortable, because although my father had been a teacher, it had been, you know, well before me. He had a family before me, and that's when his teaching life had been. So I didn't necessarily think of him, like, there was no point in my life where he taught. So I didn't think of him in that vein. I knew he was, you know, very smart and very capable. But then also, since he switched to full unschooling and let us just find our own way, I certainly knew you don't have to know it all and you don't have to lead. And so that's where, like, I when it comes to online community, be it broad or narrow, mine became much more narrow and about making personal connections, whereas I'm not one who's gone off, like, I really have read, like, no blogs, and I haven't listened to podcasts, and I've read one book. But I didn't need that. And I think it's great that there's so much out there. Because I know, like, for him, his big change in perspective where he really switched over was from a book. It was back reading Grace Whelan, you know, which really changed his mindset. So for him going into it new, we didn't have online community then, of course. But being able to just see it through another's eyes, that was so important to him. And so if he'd been able to have online community, it might have changed his perspective or his way of doing it much earlier, because he certainly evolved across our homeschool time and changed the way he did things as he started to hear a bit more from other folks about how it would go. Because yes, it is very different than teaching. So then when it rolled on to me, I didn't necessarily feel the need to make those connections. Like I said, for me, it was more of the, you know, hey, we're sort of doing the same lifestyle. I enjoy seeing what you're doing and let's chit chat. But I wasn't, like I said, inspire me in your day. I want to have a smile, or I want you to give me a thought that I go away with, or a question. Like, oh, I want to go look into that too. That sounds fun. You know, so that was more my way of coming on to it. But I can definitely see where it brings that, that value. Like for me, it's almost nice to, and I don't know if there's blogs out there about this or podcasts, but I know it's been important for me. I've really enjoyed when I've met people who also homeschooled as kids, because that then is its own subset. Really, I say sometimes I've felt kind of like the odd duck with not, it can be hard to meet somebody who did that as a kid and now is doing it. So if I found one of those, like that might be something where it'd be a fun community to join into. So there, yeah, there can definitely be benefit. Cause I can still remember like him sitting on the couch reading that Grace Llewellyn book and then like highlighting stuff and going, here, you kids should read this chapter, you know? So you're right there in the thick of it with him, where it was suddenly, like, it was just really powerful for him to be able to see somebody else in that position. And it's so good these days that there are so many ways where you can find the one that speaks to you and you can find the one that you connect with, because back then it was pretty limited what you stumble across. But now, yeah, there's a wealth out there and you can definitely find your community and your space and be able to really pick and choose what's going to help you the most.
As you're talking, Anne, I'm like, you are this living filter. That's what I'm thinking, is like, you're confident in quality over quantity. And you're like, I'm happy with what I have now. And that's an important part of this conversation, maybe, is that you could literally just be looking and looking and seeking and seeking and feeling more and more burdened by the ways everybody's doing things different. But as you're talking, I'm thinking of getting down to the roots of, like, you're just at home living with your children. And I know, Erin, you like to use a lot of like life learning, and we're just living and learning every day. And that's kind of where I fall too. And so it's this, maybe an important thing to talk about is knowing your limits and trying not to feel overwhelmed and burdened by the online community as well, knowing when to stop, or just knowing that, like your dad seemed to just pare back to the bare basics and be like, I trust that you kids will want to learn and that you are curious. And I found something that was pivotal that changed my point of view. And now we're going to go in that direction, and not always thinking there's the next latest and greatest idea or pedagogy or method or style of doing things, but just keeping, I try to keep my kids as the in the driver's seat of what we're doing, right? And so always coming back to the simplicity and the roots of just being in connection with your own family and doing what's right for you. So as you're talking, Anne, I'm like, that you sound like one big filter who's just confident and settled into what's working for you. And then that doesn't mean it's always going to work. You're open-minded to shifting into new things. Yeah, it's knowing, you know it when you hear it. Like, hopefully people listening to these podcast episodes will be like, this is, you know, striking a chord with me. This feels like I want to go check out this network. Because you kind of just know when you know, like your dad with that book, right? And being comfortable and settling into that instead of always being on the scroll and taking it all in. There's a lot to take in, right?
Yes. In fact, I remember I was talking with Erin the other day about back in 2020, like I said, where I was really starting to get online more and entering into things. And it was also when I decided I wanted to try to put something out there too, you know. So I was working on like a book to try to help some of the folks who were new to this. And I remember sort of talking about all those same things in it of, wow, we're at this point where due to world circumstances, we have this wealth of, like, there's virtual schooling, there's road schooling, there's unschooling. Like, there's so many terms. There's so many terms and way of doing things, whether you're Montessori or it's Charlotte Mason or you do, like, I said, you know, in a way, to me, it's almost too much, where you have to know your limits of, yes, go and look at a few and sort of get an idea for, like, what the rough terms are. But don't feel you need to go down every road, because there are so many, where it can just be overwhelming if you're trying to enter into this and go, wow, where do I even start? Which one of these things do I fit into? You know, because there's so many curriculum choices. There's so many ways to learn. You can throw it all away and say, I'm not doing any of those things. Like, there's so many, where it's, I would always tell people, it's like, just start small. You can add a little bit, but you can also drown if you try to pour it all on. So, like, start small and go, does this feel good? And then if it does, kind of keep going. Or if it's a little off, go, well, maybe it's going to point me a little over here. I kind of know this isn't for me now, but, like, start slow and inch in and just find where you fit rather than trying to hit it all at once. Cause yeah, there's a lot. So it's a beautiful thing that there's a lot out there, but it can also just be a lot.
I like to refer to what we do sometimes as us schooling. I love unschooling, but I feel like that's a whole conversation to have with people, and that it would be my version of what unschooling is. And so not a lot of people are happy to sit there and listen, even if they ask. So, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's just us schooling, you know, what's working for us in any given moment, which changes month to month, you know? So, like, definitely, yeah, your own little collection and flavor of what you're doing, and just keeping an open mind and learning from others, is part of that, through these networks and through online connections, is like, oh, I like that. I can see something on a blog, and Erin, you were talking about authors feeling kind of untouchable back, you know, maybe a decade ago, and now things are a bit different with less barriers to entry with self-publishing and things. And anyway, I used to feel that way about blogs sometimes. I'd see activities even, and I'd be like, oh, you know, I've got young kids. That seems a little much. But then when I see on Instagram, it's like, we just did this. It was easy. Like, it's so much, it's inspirational, because when you see people doing things, whatever they may be, an activity or a club or a nature adventure or whatever, it just seems more attainable to feel like that's an everyday person just like me. And it just, yeah. So it's that less untouchable, or less, almost like, I'm not one to be able to follow recipes well, for example. I look at 3 or 4 recipes, I look at pictures, and then I make up my own thing. Erin, you were saying earlier, like, you told me I have to do that, so now I don't want to. That's how I feel with recipes. And so I feel like it's, online communities are more like, here's a display of what real people are doing. And it feels more like an open invitation to be open-minded and to be inspired, as opposed to prescriptive or, yeah, like following a checklist of any kind.
Yes, I cook the exact same way, by the way, if I need to do something new. But I would say, talking about what you had said a minute ago on like having to change your mindset from being a teacher, and then also how you're saying if you see something and think it's too much and then you see somebody do it, it might also be helpful to folks who are more in that mindset of like, if I'm going to download an activity or buy a curriculum, like I need to do it from start to finish and hit all the things. But then if you see somebody who's comfortable in doing it, you might see, yeah, so we did like this paragraph here, we pulled out this thing, and then we winged it over here. And you're like, oh, wow, I can do that.
Make it your own, for sure.
I think that's a really good point. It's almost like we get, the way I view it is like, you're now, I've been given permission almost, right? Like it's, afterwards you're like, why did I didn't need the permission, but just seeing it or hearing someone else do it, it's the whole, well, if they could do it, why can't I do it? I have two thoughts. One, I really want to, something really stuck out to me. I think it was you, Kendall, who said, you know, when you know, so when you come across a book, or like your dad, right, and read that book and just was like, something went off, and it was like maybe a light bulb moment, right? But he knew like what he was reading, it was just really making sense. And sometimes I think it's a book, it could be a podcast, it could be a blog, it could be a conversation you have with someone. But I just want to really, I guess, highlight that whole idea of like, you know when you know, because I know I have felt that for sure. And I hang on to it. Like, that's so helpful. It's almost like it comes back to like your why you homeschool or why you choose to do the things you do. And I think that's probably really encouraging for people who, not everybody at the beginning of their homeschool journey maybe feels overwhelmed, but I think it's not uncommon for people to feel that way. So one, I want to think like, I didn't know right away. Like, I was dabbling in different things. I was like, for me, I was taking in all the information. But when for me, it was a book. And when I read the book, I knew. It was that when you know, you know. So, and I think we all eventually find that in one way or another. And you just sometimes have to be patient for when that happens. And I think that's true with, like, Erin, when I came across you, I don't know for sure. You guys know I have such a bad memory with this stuff. So I don't know, Erin, if I found you on Instagram, which led me to your blog, or your blog and then I looked you up on Instagram. I think I found you on Instagram first. But regardless, when I read your Instagram posts and I read your blog posts very early on, I knew, right? Like, I had that feeling when I was reading your stuff. I was like, I need to read more of this, and I want to be in connection with this person. So you know when you know. And I think that that's what's great about the online communities too. And what you were saying, Kendall, earlier about like, just, you can just listen to the people speaking or read what people are sharing. And I think pretty early on, if it's like, however you want to put it, maybe like, say like, if it's a fit for you, you'll know, when that happens, you know, that'll be different for everyone. But I think often when it is a fit, you can kind of get that feel early on. And then the last thing I wanted to say, just as you guys were talking too, is thinking about what's really neat about community is sometimes it might depend on like what season of life you're in as to like how you engage with a community. So, because I'm also thinking like from my own experience, there's been certain communities I haven't joined because I guess I felt like I couldn't fit it into my life. which is fine. But I think what's neat about his community is you can show up a lot, you can show up a little, you can show up to the Zoom calls or not. Like the Unschooling Together community, I often have the Zoom calls marked on my calendar, but don't get to them very often, even though I want to. I'm just, you know, with the way life is right now, I don't get to those. You can be someone who offers a lot of comments and engage in comments a lot and get a lot from that within a community. Or you could be someone who likes to take a bit more time and likes to, you know, think through their thoughts and write out posts and share that way. So I'm just, and I think that's what community in person and online community offers, is that it's kind of like there should be a space for everyone to kind of show up in whatever capacity they have, or, you know, maybe everybody communicates in different ways. So just as you guys were talking, it's not tied to anything specific anyone said, I don't think, but that kind of popped up with me in thinking about, like, there are lots of different opportunities to show up in a community, and that might be helpful. I know that would have been helpful for me to hear a few years ago, because I think I would have been under the impression too, like, can I dedicate like enough time to a community almost, I guess. And I don't think everyone has to, you know, have a certain amount of time to engage within a community to feel like there might be a place for them to belong within a community. I think you can get a lot out of a community from showing up and even just reading, almost like just taking a lot at first. And I trust that at some point they will eventually be able to give back in some way too. So hopefully that makes sense, because that was just off the top of my head listening to you guys talk. Mm-hmm.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I wonder if some of it is from kind of our conditioning of real world things, of like, you have to participate, or you have to participate this way, or you have to, whereas doing things virtually really does give you a little bit more space to, you know, I'm even thinking of like, if people are part of a live call, if people, you know, people don't have to have their camera on, or, you know, like there's all these different things, or they can be like sorting laundry while they're talking. Whereas, you know, for those of us who grew up in school, you're not supposed to be doing something else while you're listening. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have all these, and I don't know how much of that is subconscious, but I can relate to that too, Ashley, that feeling like you had to come in a certain way, and understanding that actually there's a lot of flexibility, as there often is actually in life, that we're told there isn't going to be. Yeah. So just doing things in the way that work for you, or not doing them at all for a period of time, or taking a big break from something or whatever. One of the online groups that I'm part of, I have been very inactive the last few months, and I'm looking forward. I haven't even logged in probably in 3 months to one of these ones, and I'm really looking forward to connecting, but it just is what it is. I haven't had time. And I think you had started this by saying, like, different stages of our life, sometimes we're just like called to do things at different points because of what's happening in our life. It's like, okay, now I feel like I have time to either receive from this group or give to this group, or both, you know, but it's not going to be all the time for everybody. So I do like that flexibility, that it's kind of like, feel a little bit guilty for having that flexibility, but why? Like, you know, I think most people would like that grace given to them as well. So it's just about what works for each person. And on back when you were talking about like not diving in a lot to things like blogs and podcasts, and just having read a book or two, because you already, it makes me think about how much time do we spend convincing ourselves, even years into home education, that, like, how much of the reading and stuff that homeschool people are doing is de-schooling work? Because for you, you've lived it. You know you're capable. You know you're happy. You know you're kind. You know you're smart. Well, if you don't, I'm going to tell you tell you that. You are all those things. And you know, like, so you know that it can, quote, work, right? So maybe that's part of it might just be personality too, right? We get different things from different sources. But it's interesting to me that that's not a piece of it for you. And it makes me think, now that homeschooling has grown so, it's expanded so much, it was already expanding hugely, and then the, you know, the pandemic kind of blew it forward even more than that, it makes me think, like, what will there even, like, will there be all these different accounts about deschooling? Or, you know, at some point, will it be enough of a norm that there isn't? I suspect that will be a very long time away. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's just interesting to me, but it makes sense to me, because, like, my kids, they don't want to talk about homeschooling. It's not remotely interesting to them. They wouldn't see it as a thing. They just see themselves as themselves. Like, so I'm guessing if they decide to homeschool, then, like, their own children, then they might dive into stuff on a practical level. But I feel they might skip a lot of the, can your kid turn out okay stuff?
Yeah. I
they know they can. So it's like, I'm saying, but it'd just be funny to see how this evolves, right? Like,
I have said since I was saying, like, I'd love to be able to see more things by people who were homeschooled. It's like, I have said that of, I'm curious to see where the next generations go, because I feel like it's going to be more of that of, like, we were the kids of the rise of homeschool, and now it is more normal. We know everybody thinks we're more normal than they used to be, and we're comfortable with it, and we don't need to explain ourselves, and we don't need to do, like, a bunch of these other things that maybe past generations felt they need to. So I'm excited to see that, because, like, for me, I like to be within the homeschool groups in terms of, like, having those homeschool connections. Like I said, Instagram is only that for me. And then, of course, joining the community, that's what it was for. But for me, it's definitely not the, I need to touch base on the subject of homeschooling itself. It's right. It's what is your actual life? And I want to see that. So yeah, it's a very different way. And also, as you were saying, Erin, you had mentioned something about ways we get our information. It's like, it's that too. I don't go online for my news. I don't read articles online. Like, that's not the way I access my stuff. I don't know what it is. Like, I'll sit and read a book. I will not sit and scroll online. It just doesn't work for me. And I've not, like, when I say I haven't done homeschool podcasts, I don't do other podcasts either. I will listen to audiobooks, and I don't have a lot of time to listen to stuff. So for me, I listen to audiobooks as I'm going to sleep, and that may not be the best time to listen to a podcast. So, like, it just doesn't fit. So it's not so much, I mean, I would say I would be like, what are you talking about, your kids? I don't really have the interest either in that end. I love seeing homeschoolers in action, but I don't need to know about the rest of it. So I both don't necessarily have the interest to go look it up, but it's also not the mediums that I use for anything else either. Yes. And then to, like, what Ashley was saying there, yes, it's very much to me about times in my life, because kind of like I mentioned the audiobook, there was a point where, my son was probably about 2. So he's still very much a kid that I'm not having big conversations with, you know? But he's just old enough to where he's not tied to me constantly, to where I suddenly went, just be nice to hear an adult conversation every now and then. And audiobooks filled that. All of a sudden I had an audiobook to listen to where it felt like an adult conversation, and yet it didn't take away from the time I still wanted to be spending with him. It's like I could have it on the side, you know, and I could put it on the shelf. And so then I think that's how I slowly got into the online communities, was as he got a little bit more independent and a little bit more independent. And I have moments to sort of, or like I said, this is where I actually meet as an adult first. So I grew into wanting to go meet as an adult rather than always being down sort of at his level. And as he gets a little bit older and older, I both have more interest in connecting with the adults and being more in the adult world and have more time to do so. Now, I still have a lot where I have to dip in and out, and I don't have tons and tons of time. But yes, I'm at that stage in my life where it's like, it's nice to go see what everybody else out there in the world's doing.
Yeah. Well, it makes me wonder too, if we're in the middle right now of like the ultimate bubble of online homeschool connection, because as much as I'm saying I didn't dip into it much until my kids were older, there wasn't that much when my kids were little available, right? So it started to become, blogs kind of became more of a thing even after my youngest was born. So more like maybe as they reach the kind of adolescence, all of a sudden blogs and then podcasts afterward. So there wasn't even that much initially. And so then that makes me think, like what you're saying, Anne, at some point, perhaps our kids won't really be that interested in this as a topic, right? They'll be interested in their own topics. So because we had this relatively sudden explosion to a degree, I'm wondering if we're really kind of in the midst of it right now. And it'll be interesting to see what it sort of evolves into or what those connections look like. But I would say, I think it's kind of similar to what you said, Anne. I can't quite remember where we were talking about it, but maybe it's just talking about information overload and that can happen online, and just us having to be conscious of kind of like, not only what are we taking in, but like how much time do we actually have and how much of that do we want to be taking in information. And I'm kind of thankful in some ways that I didn't do the online thing until later, because all the stuff that I'm talking about, like with my parenting, that was just what we were doing. I wasn't doing it because it was somebody's approach. And I think I didn't really, like, I had read John Holt's, I did read a couple of John Holt's books. I had read John Taylor Gatto. I had read a classical Susan Wise Bauer. Like I had read a few books, but I just kind of read them. And a lot of what we did was really dictated, honestly, by everything from time, money, the mix of personalities in our family. We did a lot of things in retrospect now because we were building community and I was facilitating community. I look back now and I'm not even sure it was always the best fit for some of the kids in my family, but I feel we were just propelled forward by everyday life, not so much by reflecting, which has its downsides as well. But I didn't worry a lot about what our label was or what our, and I think it was later that, I mean, it's not that I didn't know what they were. It's not that I never talked about it, but it was never a part of my identity or our family's identity. So there are pieces of that I regret. And there are pieces of that that I'm kind of happy about, because we just did our thing. And if there was a pocket of time that, you know, I've said this before, we were doing some group learning with another family that took us down a real curriculum route for a couple of years, which we still held in lots of fun, but I never in my mind did I go, oh, we're switching philosophy. Like it was never about that. We just did what worked. And I feel like maybe if I'd been more engaged online, those thoughts would have been a little bit different. But I don't know. I don't know. You can know for sure.
Well, that accountability you mentioned before, you might have felt like, oh, I have this kind of identity to others, and it gives you that sense of accountability to stick with something. But the people I tend to gravitate towards are the people I can tell that are willing at any moment to shift because it's a better fit for their family. Like, and you right. can pick up on that somehow. Like, they're not the stringent account that right in the name is Montessori or whatever their pedagogy is. And so you can find people who you can tell are open to following their kids' leads. And if that's what you're into, then that's cool too. And as you, Erin and Anne, were talking about kind of like, will this new generation of kids who have grown up in this lifestyle see it differently? I was thinking about how I was reflecting in preparation for this call about myself thinking, it's kind of, are we at a new stage with online friendships is what it brought to my mind, where I feel like in the past couple of years in my real life connections with people or family, they'll be like, oh, do you mean an online friend? Like there was this big distinction when you would just passively say, oh, my friend and I were chatting, or, you know, something like that. My friend posted on Instagram. Oh, is that an online friend? And there was this big distinction. And I think we're getting past that a bit more. At least my journey has gotten me to a place where I feel like it's less taboo to just call people who are online connections a friend to other friends or to family, because unless you experience it, you don't know how deeply you can connect and all this. And so I was just thinking going forward, my own experience in getting more comfortable with considering online connections, friendships, will help me if my kids are inevitably making those connections as well. Because I think
5 years ago, without me having the personal experience with it, if my kids were connecting with someone online, I would have all of these more stereotypical thoughts about what that meant. That can't possibly be a deep connection or a true friendship. And I think we've touched on that before, Erin, as you saw that play out with your kids. So I'm definitely thankful for the experience of me processing all of this firsthand for myself and getting over that. I think more and more people will get there, as you're saying, as you were hypothesizing with unschooling and homeschooling, as it becomes more mainstream or less, more common, there'll be less of these barriers that we have to unschool or deschool ourselves, deschool. And so maybe with online connections, there won't need that distinction won't need to be there. Like, oh, well, you've never met this person in real life, so how could you ever be a close friend with them? So anyway, I'm sure you guys have your own thoughts and experiences with that as well.
Yeah.
I am. Sorry, Erin. There's that when you were saying that, like, you just know sometimes with people, like, where you have that comfort right away. Like I was saying, the first account I remember on Instagram, where I was saying, we don't have a lot in common in that way. And yet, that's why I enjoy her so much, is because I feel like even though the way it'll be organized is very different, I feel that's exactly how she is. Like, her kid comes first and she's willing to shift. So she may have all these plans and all these really big ways that I don't do. And yet I feel that essence.
Yeah.
And like that ability to connect with somebody online, where I think it's been maybe three years now, where I don't remember how long I've been on there, maybe 3 years, where from the beginning, you know, she and I have been connected. And I just realized here like a week ago that I don't think I've ever known her name.
That is
that connection.
It's like, that is such a good point. I was thinking about this the other day. You use the word essence. I feel like you get to know the soul of somebody. Yeah. And you don't often know sometimes their first or last name, or you kind of might know what country or state or province they live in, but you do. You really get to know kind of the heart of somebody. And Kendall, I agree that it's becoming less odd to call somebody your friend, that, you know, because I will often think about that, or something will be happening in the world and I'll be like, oh yeah, well, I have a friend who lives here. And sometimes, you know, people do look a little bit, but it's easier to explain now than it used to be. It's easier to, I think it's just become more commonplace. The world's become so much more global. And I think that, and you and I recently had just a brief exchange about somebody in common that we follow in California with everything that's happening with the fires, and you going back and saying, you know, I haven't heard from her since this day. And I had actually similarly gone to her account and noticed, like, it's just interesting, right? And then you let me know that you'd heard from her and she was okay. And that was very similar to what was going on when we weren't sure about you during the hurricane this fall. And there was like, you know, April and myself, Ashley, you were part of that conversation. And then I was connecting with somebody, I believe in your state or who was from your state, that I knew online. And she was like, she goes, do you think this could be the town? And then April was getting, so there was like this effort being made to make sure, like, where's Anne?
What led me on the fires thing, honestly, because I posted at the time, I was really touched to I woke up that morning at like 1:30 in the morning because my phone was going bloop, 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 you know, for days. We have not had any cell service. And it's like my phone's over here exploding with a million notifications. And so like, that's why all of a sudden when I heard about the California fires, I was going, are these people okay? Because I think this is where they are. Because I'd gone through that. And so like, that's one of the beautiful things about the community, where suddenly these people we don't know, you know, we're going, wait a minute, like you were saying, they're in our minds. We're like, are these people okay? How are they doing? And so because I knew I had been touched by people being concerned about me, that then I knew I wanted, she and I have exchanged one thing ever in a chat, and it was years ago. I think I was doing like a book giveaway or something when I had to send it to her. But I wanted to reach out, and she and I actually messaged back and forth and back and forth that night. And I was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, and I'd actually gone to the account I don't know the name of, you know, and she and I are going, are they okay? And she's going, let me know. You know, so there's all this little back and forth that I'm doing with other people. And I was like, I just want to let you know, like, I know how you feel and you're going through a lot, but know that there's out here, there's people who feel a hole because you're not here. So if you need to come out and just unload, like we're here, we understand if you can't be here. And I mean, I can't take credit. I don't know, but I hope it helps. I noticed she was back online the next day and she was just saying that it was really good to hear. Like it made her feel good just to know that, like, cause I was saying, you know, that during the hurricane, I'd realized there's something deeper there than what I usually experience online of like, there's people who are actually thinking if you're not there, like, are you okay? What's going on with you? Like, I want to touch base where, and maybe part of it is like that connection where we're saying like, we can sort of feel the soul of some people. It might go back to Aaron, where you talk about if we don't have people we know, like in real life, the in-person life, we communicate differently and we don't necessarily have a guard or a politeness that we put on for people in person. So maybe we can see a little bit more into the actual person and allows for a kind of different connection where it's like, I was genuinely so happy to see her message come through. Like, thank goodness these people are okay, you know, but she's still on my mind every day because I know there's a lot they're experiencing out there. But it's just nice that we can have that where you actually do care. Like you realize people actually do care. They actually are paying attention to you, and you can touch people across many, many miles that way.
Mm-hmm. I want to jump on that really quickly. And before I forget this, because you were okay. So when you think about the mark, to me, it's like the mark of community. If somebody is missing, then you notice it. Right? Other people notice that you're missing. And it's interesting because in the in-person paid work that I do, we spend a lot of time talking about people and building community, like not just like for each of them, like building individual community. And that's something we talk about all the time is like, there's all kinds of different connections that can be valuable in our lives. But when you hit that situation where you're not just included, like people aren't just tolerating that you're there or be kind of happy to see you. But they notice you're not there. And then to deepen that further, there's a hole there, right? If that person isn't there, like that is kind of the mark of true community is when people are really noticing each other's physical absence, but just even what they bring to their presence, essentially. So that just, that like, to me, that rounded that out so nicely, like how real these online connections are, because it's actually the same in that respect. And the worry is the same, isn't it? Like I can remember when we were trying to figure out whether you were okay. And like April was sending messages. I'm sure she wouldn't mind me saying this, Ashley, to you and I, and she's like, could this be our Anne? Do you think this? And then she was like, I think she's okay. And it was like, you know, we took it from social media to just like our phone texts, I think, so that we could keep up with it a little bit more quickly. Right. But that to me, it just really brings us full circle around that of how authentic it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can think about it within the community. Like that's obviously a very, and maybe the most valuable piece to it is that level of care that can exist with online communities. And then I was just making notes, like, because you mentioned, Aaron, like I forget how you put it, but like that's what community is all about, right? And also within the community, like there's so much sharing that happens, like obviously resources, but so much more. And then the other, as far as I got, I just wrote care, share, or sharing, and supporting one another, which we can do in real life or in person, but we are able to also do that in online communities as well.
Absolutely. Well, just looking at our time, does anybody have anything else popping up to mind before we go? We're good? Okay.
So, yeah, thank you so much, Anne and Kendall. I really appreciate it here. And I'm sure I can speak for Aaron too. We really appreciate you guys sharing everything. I really love the way I made a lot of notes today because I love the way you guys were wording stuff as you talked about community. So thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to come back on again. It's been nice to catch up again.
Yeah,
it's always a fun conversation.
Yeah, it was a fun conversation, and I just we'll put a link to we'll put multiple links to several of the things that we talked about, and I would also encourage people to listen to the episode before this, which will probably be like, I guess, part one. It's probably the way that by the time you're listening to this, we'll have figured it out. And there will be a link to the new virtual kitchen table community, because we would love to have you join us, as we say, around the table, in whatever way works for you. So, okay. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks.
And this ends our conversation today. We hope you found it interesting and maybe helpful. If you'd like to connect further or see additional content, Haley can be found on the web and on Instagram at Taking a Kinder Path. I, Erin, can be found at Everlearning, and Ashley can be found on Instagram at Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves. We'd be very grateful if you'd share this conversation with anyone you think might appreciate it. Thank you for your time today.